John chapter 19, please. John chapter 19. John chapter 19. We're going to begin reading in John chapter 19 and in verse 25. 19 and verse 25. And Linda, happy almost birthday, sister. I'll say more about you later, but happy birthday. One of our The sister, I call her Level Linda because she has to stay steady, take care of all the business. And then there's Loony Linda. And I call Linda Nangada Loony only because she's crazy. And I love her for it. And by the way, Linda's not here this morning because she's a mother taking care of her mother. By the way, that's part. All right, John, I'm just going to read a section. Let's stand together, please. John chapter 19 and verse 25. This, of course, is one of the seven sayings from the cross. I will read all of these shortly, but we'll just read the one together, which is the text this morning. Now, there stood by the cross of Jesus. Can you imagine, mothers? I can't hear you. Mothers, can you imagine? There stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary and Mary Magdalene. I've done a lot of New Testament work in weird archaeology stuff. The most common name in the first century was the name Mary. Miriam, or what it would be in Hebrew, Miriam. It's all the same name, spelled a little differently. Sometimes it's Miriam, sometimes it's Miriam, sometimes it's Maria in Greek. But it's all the same name. There's just a bunch of Marys, and that's just true in archaeology also from the first century. So, his mother, and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took unto his own home, or his own things. Otherwise, from that moment and forward, he took care of Jesus' mother. I'm going to speak on this text. It's a very simple sermon this morning about Jesus and Mary, his mother. It will be a Mother's Day sermon, and the purpose will be, look at me, friends, the purpose will be for us to learn to honor our mothers of whatever variety we have. And again, in this room, I look around, I know some of us have lost our mothers. I have the privilege still having mine. My wife's mother's still alive. Almost 96, my mother's young, 90. Next year here, who will be here? I don't know. I don't know what mothers will be gone. But it's bigger than that. We have lots of mothers of all ages, and I want to honor them and teach what the Bible says from Jesus' life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this beautiful text. It's simple. It's easy. It's so honorable. And in one sense, so out of place in the seven sayings from the cross. But in another sense, it's most fundamental of all, reflecting the very thing called creation, Ish and Isha, the man and the woman. Bless now as we look at these texts, and Lord, help us, remind us, challenge us, bring to our minds all the good and the good we can do. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. What I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to ask a question. I'm going to say three things that Jesus did, but the question is, what did Jesus do in relationship to his mother? Is that a fair question? What did he do? Now, friends, Cliff did just an excellent job. I'll mention him at the end of the sermon again. We oftentimes don't remember ideas. The thing we remember is what someone did to honor. Now, I'm an old geezer. Thank you, Mike. Come on now, buddy. Anybody my age from America can remember something in their youth. Everybody is going to remember about where they were when John F. Kennedy was assassinated. There's a second thing you're going to remember. Now, by the way, some of you maybe have never seen it. I'm sure you can pull it up on YouTube in 3 seconds. The thing that I remember, though, a lot was from the funeral. I remember the video of the assassination. I remember the horror. The thing that bothered me the most is watching his wife crawl onto the back of the open car, reaching for part of the back of his head. But you know what I really remember the most at the funeral? What did John F. Kennedy Jr. do? He walked up and saluted his dad, an act of honor. One of my favorite videos in the last 10 years is a minute and 13 seconds long, I think, on YouTube. It's a little bitty video. We lost a president not long ago, George Herbert Walker Bush, Sr. Now, Americans are very distracted from polarization in the media. So he isn't devil, you know. But when he died, I'm assuming for some of you, you knew he was a World War II veteran and was shot down in World War II flying a plane and rescued, I believe, by a sub, wasn't it, Jim? I mean, you know, we're talking real stuff. We're not talking left-wing Looney Tunes in Hollywood talking about stuff. We're talking about people that fought for our country. Well, when he died, he had an old friend. By the way, his friend wasn't one of my favorite politicians. His name was Dole, Bob Dole. Bob Dole was also a World War II man. I heard young people make fun of Bob Dole because Bob Dole had really weird problems with his arms and his hands. Of course, if you didn't know, 1944 in Italy, he was shot nearly to death. His right arm didn't work. His left arm kind of worked, but it was numb. But the video, you look it up. See, this is what it means to honor people. Sorry, a little bit of politics. The most dishonorable person in recent memory was Donald Trump. He never honored anybody but Donald Trump. I don't care if you're a left winger or a right winger. You honor people to whom honor is due. Well, if you watch the video, all you got to do is YouTube this. Bob Dole at George Bush's funeral. Bob Dole's in his 90s. He's nearly dead. He's gone. Both of them are gone now. He couldn't walk. Nothing was working. An aide pushes him in. It's what you see in his eyes. He couldn't stand up, but he wasn't going to sit down. So an aide comes, picks him up. You can see that determination in his eyes that brought him through World War II after he was left for dead, after he recovered for forever. He was going to salute his friend. It was an act of honor. So I want to be clear to you this morning. It is a right thing to honor people. Yes, we are a dishonorable people in America. We don't respect anybody. We hate everybody. But we're Christians. Honor thy father and thy mother is not a suggestion. It's a command from God. So ladies, this morning, if I can, I would like to bring an element of honor to you. I'm going to say this, and by the way, it's not how you do. Everybody got that? It's not I think I'm just going to dive into the message this morning. Look back at verse 25, please, would you? I have a lot of stuff to say, but I think I'm going to skip it. Let's look at verse 25. I'm assuming when you read this for the first time, there is something that's jarring in the text. That's kind of like, yeah, I don't know if I like what that says. Look at verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, and Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son, or your son. What was Jesus doing? And friend, I have to say this. There's a couple ladies here. I'll just mention Bambi's name. She knows this. She does not like to be called woman. Is that right? Do I ever do it? Especially if I know someone doesn't like it, if they can take the joke, I am obviously going to. So every once in a while I say, come on, woman. Oh, immediately her hair stands up. And she has a lot of hair. It stands way up. Jesus looked at his mother and says, Woman. Now, friends, all you got to do is read for 30 seconds. People have all kinds of opinions because this sounds harsh. Yes or no? Does this sound harsh? Now, some people, if you know a little bit of Spanish, you don't normally in Spanish. I got Big Mac back here. Big Mac would not look at his wife, if you want to live, and say to Leticia, he wouldn't say, mujer. He wouldn't say, mi mujer, you know, my woman. But because you would say, mi amor, mi sueño, mi, let's see, what, cielo, right? Come on, Big Mac. My love, my dream, my heaven. And then she would say, what do you want? Now, friends, I believe this is somewhat like Spanish, the word mujer, that in Spain, they call their wife woman. If I call my wife woman, I'm getting hit, either by her or by my daughter. But in some country, I think there's an element of that, but I think there's something maybe more significant. So look at the verse again, would you please? Look at that last verse when Jesus addresses his mother. He says this, Woman, behold thy son. I think Jesus is doing three things in this text. What is he doing? Number one, Jesus acknowledges and honors Mary as a woman. Do you realize, ladies, some of the problems we have in cultures is women are not honored in all cultures. Women, I mean as a woman. Yeah, I believe probably this in Jesus' day wasn't as harsh as it sounds to us. But I also believe he could have called her mom. He could have called her other names, but he called out to her and called her woman. But by doing that, he's acknowledging, and not only acknowledging, but he is honoring Mary as a woman. So I would say maybe Jesus is trying to do something for us. He's trying to pick something that some of us have a difficulty with. He's trying to acknowledge and honor as a woman, that it's okay to be a woman, that she was a woman. She was a woman made in God's image. Not less than man, not more than man. She was made in God's image. Genesis 1:26. God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." My friend, Jesus was acknowledging and honoring Mary as a woman. So ladies, this morning, we're talking about Mother's Day. I want to say to all the mothers, yes, but before we get to motherhood, please look at me. It's a God-honoring thing to be a woman. Women are not less than men. Stop. Women are not more than men. They're both worthy of honor. You say, why? God created us, male and female. Both bear God's image. So it's an honorable thing to be a woman. It might be the most heartbreaking thing I ever heard. Actually, I have seen this several times, tragically. But I had a friend one time tell me, my dad never wanted a girl. See, I still can't get my head. What? First of all, back in the dark ages when our children were born, you didn't know if you're getting a boy or a girl until it happened. But did you care? It's like, listen, if God gifted us with a son, which he did, that's beautiful. If he gifted us with a daughter, which he did, that's beautiful. To be a boy is fine. To be a young lady is fine. It's something Jesus, look at me, Jesus is doing something. He's pointing to his mother and honoring the fact that she is a woman created by God, a woman who manifests the image of God just like men do, a woman chosen by God, a woman chosen by God to perform specific tasks, a woman who is fully woman, who is loved, accepted, and blessed by God. All of these ideas, he is doing something. We're all aware of the crazy culture of America. You have stupidity from here to here. So I have to address everything because I'm trying to teach Bible truth. In some elements of some kinds of churches, women are put down. Women are almost seen as, you're kind of semi-evil, you're less than a man, it's okay to tell ugly jokes about the woman, put the woman, there's a little bit of that. But on the other end, you have, I am woman. Jesus is disabusing the stupid of both sides. It's not a woman, and men are bad, and it's not men are good. First of all, if you think men are good, you're in the wrong church. Men or woman, far as that goes. But friends, it's not that. God created a woman. We have lots of chaos. We had a woman recently. Excuse me. I'm identifying her as a woman because she self-identified as a woman. That got sworn into the Supreme Court. When was asked publicly, can you tell me what a woman is? Her answer was, you're like, now here's the sad thing. The woman appeared to be a woman to me. She is called the first African-American female judge. Now if you don't get the irony of that, so she doesn't know what a woman is, but she's a woman. Now I don't want to be mean about the woman herself. Look at me. Actually, I think she's probably, well, she's a left-winger, yes. But she's probably I think she has a good marriage. She has a beautiful daughter. I think she's a woman. Friends, the chaos is all around us. Some of us might have come from cultures where women were put down. That happened even in Christian circles, where women were told brilliant things like this: you're a woman, you can't be an engineer. You're a woman, you can't do math. Jamie, I know that's not true because your wife can do math and you can't do math. Listen to me, friend, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Have you ever talked to Mrs. Hall about math? I do. After the first two sentences, I'm asleep because her math is up here and my math is not as bad as yours, Jamie, but close. Friend, I want to say to all the ladies here that are not mothers, are not yet mothers, Jesus was honoring his mother as a woman. A woman even apart from a husband. So it's not like you suddenly become a woman when you get married, because at this point in time, most people believe, and it's probably true, that Joseph was gone, dead. It would have made sense if Jesus was 30-ish, and Joseph would have certainly in that culture been quite a bit older than the wife. If he was even 20, he would be in his 50s at this time, which was pretty old in that day for the common person. So at this point in time, Jesus is honoring her as a woman apart from being a wife because Joseph is gone. But she's still honorable, and it's okay to honor wives, of course, but yes, also women, just as a woman. God values women. God values men. And in my way of thinking, God's valuation is the only thing that's important. So young ladies, I have to say this. You don't become valuable when you get married. You do not become valuable when you have children. You have inherent value as a woman apart from both of those. We're going to talk about both of those, but it's not like, you know, you're a zero, now you're important. That's paganism. I'm very thankful for the women, not just mothers, the women in our church. What if it was left for men to do decorations? What if it was left to this man to see colors? Our fabrics, our flowers, our cards. I like the fact that God made women and men. And I like the fact that God made women to like those things that are beautiful. You say you're stereotyping women. Oh, shut up. Crawl back into your hole. It's kind of nice to go someplace and you immediately know there's been a woman here because things are pretty. Now, I don't like everything about women. Pachungai's sick today. Her and Bambi will be in the office. You know what they're talking about? Pedicures. The first time I hear that word, I want to run. Quickly. Far away. They like to corner me someplace and just talk. Oh, it's like, oh, please don't tell me about pedicures or manicures or any of that stuff, that foo-foo stuff. But wait a minute. Look at me. I'm glad that women are women. Are you? It adds something kind of nice. You know what's beautiful? All over the world, no matter where you go. This is for Rhoda. Rhoda, when I was in Romania, right after the fall of communism, the people had nothing. They lived in those terrible houses that the communists had built, where everybody had exactly the same, and they were crumbling and terrible. The elevators didn't work, the lights didn't work, nothing worked. But you'd go in there, and I remember walking into my first one, and it was so depressing that you just wanted to run. But you got up to the place, there was the couple's little cubbyhole. They opened the door. Look at me. I walked in the door, and it was beautiful inside because there was a Christian woman there that made that place beautiful for her family, though everything else was ugly. Thank God for women. Thank God that you are a woman. Thank God that God made you different from me. And yes, I love it all, but don't talk to me about manicures and pedicures, please. Let's look back to the text. He obviously acknowledged, this is what he did. He acknowledged Mary as a woman. But obviously the reason he acknowledged her as a woman is that which is underlying, which is the purpose of today. John 19:25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus. And if you get bored, it's mentioned five times in these three verses. And, again mentioning the same word, his mother's sister. Verse 26. When Jesus saw his mother, third time it's mentioned, and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith to him, verse 27, then saith he to the disciple, behold, thy mother, your mother. Five times in three verses, the word mother is mentioned. Friends, Jesus not only acknowledges and honors Mary as a woman, he obviously is acknowledging and honoring her as his mother. The concept of motherhood. I'm not going to read all the verses. I thought about it. I'm going to read a couple, friends. Mary is with Jesus almost every place. Think about this. This is shocking. She was there at the birth. Some of you aren't getting it. I'm pretty sure she was there. Oh, by the way, she was even there before the birth. Remember when the angel comes and says, oh, by the way, you're going to have a child. And she said, I don't think so. I don't think it works that way. And then she hears this crazy news that a miracle is going to happen. And she is the one that has been chosen to be the mother of the Messiah via the virgin birth. And then, of course, the angel tells the husband, Joseph, and Joseph is about ready to get a divorce. And she was there from before the birth, during the pregnancy, at the birth, when the wise men come from the east and worship and come in and see Mary with the baby and worship him, not Mary. She was there for all of this. All through the Gospels you see her name in important events. She was there at Jesus was 12. It says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast, they did what they always did. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child tarried. Jesus tarries, stays in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew it. I mean, she was there the whole time. She was there at the crucifixion, friend, in verse 25. There stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. Would you turn to Acts chapter 1, please? Acts chapter 1. This is one of the last mentions. It's really interesting. She's been there the whole time, from the prophecies to the birth, through the process, not in every location, but through the whole process to his crucifixion. In Acts chapter 1, verse 12, it says, then returned they into Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went into the upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. My friend, Jesus is not just on the cross, in the middle of the suffering and the agony, and in the middle of all these great seven statements, you know, Father, forgive them. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I thirst. It is finished. All of these sayings, he focuses on his mother in the middle of all of this, acknowledging and honoring her as both a woman and his mother. Yes, motherhood is worthy of us honoring. And Jesus acknowledges and honors this. I have many memories of my mother. I don't like to make things about my mother because you have a mother too. And I have to say this. Maybe you had a mother that wasn't a good woman. But most of us had good mothers. And think about what it means to be a mother. When I think back on childhood, which is a long time now, I have funny memories. I have normal memories. You say, what's your normal memories? The normal memory of my mother was cooking. There was four of us. Ladies, if you're older, was it easy to cook in the 1950s and 60s? There was nothing instant. By the way, you know, today you just get instant everything, correct? Fact is, we don't even get instant food anymore. We just buy from the restaurant. Friend, back in those days, everything you had to... Mom, I grew up right after you had to kill the chicken. It was right after that, and even many people still did. I mean, everything was work. One of my weird memories of my mother is ironing clothing. Took a long time. Everything had to be ironed. Not everything is serious about my mother. My favorite memory, when I was a kid, Mom didn't know how to drive. That was typical in the country. 1960, she wanted to learn how to drive. I was three, so she learned how to drive, but we had a problem. We only had one vehicle. A few years later, we got another vehicle, but folks, it was not a nice, smooth, automatic car. We got a 2-ton grain truck. Now, you have to understand, the steering, this is in the dark ages. No power steering. So if there's no power steering in a grain truck, guys, you know what that means. The wheel was this big. And you also had one of those, you know, so you could do this. No power steering, and it had a 2-speed axle. And you had to double clutch. I'm going to try to demonstrate, but there's no way I can demonstrate what it looked like. My mother is a giant. 4'11". Now, she drove that 2-ton grain truck, and I remember us going to church. This was before all the rules. All of us got, there was only one seat in the thing. So it would be Rita, Bill, me, and Shirley. And I didn't like any of them. I liked my mother in those days. We would get in the front of that truck, and Mom drove that grain truck. And friend, here's the problem. You don't understand. When she looked out, she couldn't see over the steering wheel. She looked through the steering wheel. So if you were driving down the road and you saw a grain truck coming at you and there are no heads, she's looking up through there and she's steering this monstrosity. And every shift, you had to double clutch. So some of you are like, double who? You had to double clutch that thing to get it. And then you had to go from low to high speed on every axle. So you had 8 gears, basically. And here with my mother, and my mother will tell these stories. She said, I would go into Jerseyville, the community we got groceries and stuff from, and she says men would get out and watch her drive because they didn't believe that some little woman could drive that grain truck. You say, I have all those kind of memories. I have some bad memories. One time I got a rattlesnake and killed it. I put the rattles in my sock drawer. You say, what were you thinking? I was a teenager. I wasn't thinking. And Mom brought the socks to put them in the sock drawer. She pulls that out, and all she hears is rattles. Do you know it's been 55 years or something? She's still mad at me about that. She can still give me that evil eye. But I had, you know, she was my mother. You say, was your mom a good cook? In a few areas. But friends, I can remember one of our dates. I'm trying to impress Jenny 400 years ago or so. And we go to a place for steak. Now, this was how my mom cooked. She's a country girl. Anything that wasn't moving, you battered it and deep fried it. And if it was moving, you just put extra batter and fried it longer. I did not know that steak came without batter. I remember looking at a filet mignon and thinking, what's wrong with this food? Folks, it took me years to get over. My mom fried everything. And I mean, when I say fried it, when it was done, it was about the texture of this wood. I mean, because I think it was part of the refrigeration problem and all that. Yes, I have many memories of Mom. Most of them funny, most of them good. I can't even tell you all of them. Now, friends, we do have problems. For some of us, our mom is gone. That doesn't mean you can't still honor your mother. You can't still love your mother. You can't tell the stories of your mother. You can't remember your mother. Some ladies in this room, and I know some of them, are not married for various and sundry reasons. And by the way, I honor you, first of all, as a Christian woman. And I understand that sometimes, you know, that causes pain. I got it. But I want to say this to all of you. There's lots and lots of kids in our church and school who still need a mother figure. And you might be able to be one of those mothers. This week, was it this week or last week? I don't know. I was coming from someplace and I came upstairs and I always talk to Emily Chotla. I call her Miss Wonderful. The person that's in this office I call Miss Not So Wonderful. So you got two people up here. And I said, "Good morning, Miss Wonderful." And I look in there and the room is dark and I think that's weird. And then I see one of our mothers. She's got that little Chotla baby and she's practicing mothering. Her name is Krusty. She was holding that baby, and the baby was fussy, and she's mothering the baby. Krusty, when I saw that, my first thought was, I wonder if you've tried that on the Big B or Superman lately and holding them like that. Can you do that still? No. Here's the funny part. Hour later, I'm walking back down the hallway. I look into Bambi's office through the window. The lights are out. Guess what she's doing? Mothering that baby. Can I say this to you, friend? You say, "Pastor, I've never been able to be married." There's lots of people that mother and that influence children for good. Lots and lots and lots. I think it's beautiful. There's a mean woman in this church that mothers my grandsons. Unfortunately, she's teaching Jesse in sharing with Jesse all of her evil sin nature. Her name is Jan Thompson. Hi, Jan. Where did Jan go? There she is. Jan knows it. She's getting Jesse and saying, "Jesse, hate that bumpa guy. Hate that bumpa." I can see it. When Jesse comes home, I want to say this about other ladies. There's a lady that I call Zeben in this room. Some people call her Veben. She's not a mother, but she sure mothers Kui and Mia and Abu. Now, Kui, Mia, and Abu have a beautiful mother and father that are good people, but I can tell you this. Look at me, everybody. This is Pastor Warren from the outside. I'm not part of the family, but if anything happens to Zeben, I'm going to hear about it the next day in school because Abu or Mia or Kui are going to come to me and say, "Pray for Auntie." I think they call you Auntie, don't they? Why? Because is she the mother? No, but she does a lot of mothering. She loves those kids, and let me say that they love her back. It's a beautiful thing to see. We have another lady that has a birthday this week. Her name is Linda back here. I call her Lovel Linda. She has a handsome son named Peterson, but I see her loving some people too. So I want to say this to all of you, friends. Jesus looked out. He sees his mother. He addresses her as woman because, friends, you got to start, if you're going to honor mothers, with honoring them as a woman, because that's the way God created them, and he's pretty happy with that, so we're pretty happy with that too. And then we then move to the honoring them as mothers, even if the children are not theirs. I wanted to show a picture this morning. As you can probably tell, it's a little too crazy up here to show any photos. I have one photo of this woman. I've told the story before, but it's worthy of telling. Ladies, if you're not a mother, it's worthy of you hearing again. Or let me just say this. You say, "My children haven't done right." There's still other children to influence for right. When I was a boy in the 1960s, it started on our second farm, so I know I was age 6. Up through 13, 14, 15, somewhere in that more or less 10-year period, an old lady used to come and live with us on the farm. Just an old lady. And folks, when you're a kid, what happens in your family happens in your family. You ask questions. So some old lady comes here. I didn't know who she was. She cooked. She was a nice lady. She cooked salmon patties. I still remember it. She made them excellent. I taught my mom how to make them. And we had them ever since then, the way this lady taught, did it. She went to church with us. She came and went. She would be at our house for a month, maybe 2 months. Then she wouldn't be there for a year. And then she'd come back for a month or two or three. A lot of month to 2 months, occasionally 3 months. And I believe at one time, about 9 months. We called her Grandma Griffin. You say, why did you call her that? I had no idea. And I confess to you, I grew up with her from about 6 to somewhere 14, 15 that I remember. I never asked my parents when she was there. She was Grandma Griffin. We treated her well. She was part of our family. But my mother's last name was Custer. I knew Grandma Custer, and I knew my great-grandma Edcock, and I knew my dad's mother was dead. But we called her Grandma. That's who she was. I left home, and I confess to you, I forgot about her. Somewhere after 2010, I was talking to my father, and I asked my dad a lot of questions, and I want you to hear this. My dad didn't have a good life. Didn't have a happy life. His dad was worthless. Sorry to say, I think his mother wasn't much better. I will say this, I don't know one human thing about his mother. He honored his mother, but he never talked about her. But this woman, Grandma Griffin, was always in our house. I was sitting in my dad's room. I looked over and said, somehow her name came up. Grandma Griffin, her name came up. And I just looked at Dad and I, you know how you, it's like, I remembered her then. It's like, Dad, who was she? I can still see him. He was in the process of dying. He had a few more years, but he was, you know, kidney dialysis, cancer from asbestosis. He was in the process. He looked over at me, and he just said, as matter of fact, he said, she was Frank and Lindy's mom. She grew up on the other holler in the country. And then he said this, when we didn't have food to eat, she fed us. She took care of us in the Great Depression. He said one more thing. He said, she was my friend. Can I tell something to you? You can have all the religious feelings you want, males, men. You can mistreat your wife. You can dishonor your wife. You can mistreat your mother. Or you can do this. It's all what you do. I knew how to treat my mother without my dad ever saying a word by how he treated Grandma Griffin. So she lived with us when she had no place to live. When she died, my dad paid for the funeral service and the burial and the tombstone. Why? She was my friend. Let's look back one last concept. By the way, I'm dead serious about this. In case you don't know, this game that Christians do today, and by the way, you start seeing generations of dishonorable people who can't honor anybody except one person, themselves. By very nature, if you can only honor yourself, you are a dishonorable person. There's one last concept, and it's the most obvious in the text, actually. We'll read the whole text just so we get the Bible in us. 1925, John 1925. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, John, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. And then he saith to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. He took care of her. So we have Jesus acknowledging and honoring Mary as a woman, as his mother, and he acknowledges and honors Mary as his responsibility. He had to do things for her. To honor thy father and thy mother, it's a matter of honor. I would tell you this. My mom took care of me. It is my job to try to help take care of my mom. It's just a matter of honor. It's the honorable thing to do. This morning, Linda's not here. I don't know what all she's got going on, but I do know this. Linda Nanga honors her mother during very difficult times. My wife, her mother is, I don't know if I would say failing, but she is not getting younger or better. She struggles at almost 96. My wife honors her mother. My mother is 90. I do what I can to honor my mother. I talked to Ade this week. He told me this, and it happens. He said, not only Linda's mom is bad, he says, my mom's bad in Cameroon now. And we got to take care and try to help her in Cameroon. By the way, folks, this is what it means to honor your mother specifically. You honor her as a woman. You honor her as your mother, and you honor her fulfilling your responsibilities. And Jesus did. I will say this. I never had anybody sit down and tell me, this is what you do for your mother. But I saw it. I saw how you honor your mother, etc., in my whole family. In the spring, my favorite thing to do was to go to a big family reunion on Great Aunt Ruth and Great Uncle Lawrence's farm. And it was the Adcock Custer reunion. It was primarily about Great Grandma, because the pinnacle in that family, Great Grandpa was gone, my goodness, by 30 years by that time. Great Grandma's birthday, and everybody connected to her had to go. I mean, everybody. It was one of the joys of my life as a child. But I also learned you honor your mother, grandmother, great-grandmother. That's what you do. You take care of her. By the way, Mom never told me a word about these things. But when my great-grandmother was old and dying in a nursing home, every week, Mom would take that big truck, drive into Jerseyville, go see great-grandma. What is she doing? Look at me. She's not talking. This isn't religion. It's something she did. You see it. What I liked about what Cliff did, getting the teens involved, they're actually doing something. Because far too many of us don't do anything to actually honor or even see mother as their responsibility. I saw it in my family through my whole family. Yes, great-grandma first, and my grandma Custer. I remember on certain holidays, Dad always made sure his mother is long gone, put flowers on his mother's grave. You do something. What Cliff did, it's so good, putting these ideas into practice. My parents sold the farm in the 80s, I don't remember what year, moved to the big town of Carrollton, and after a short time, they moved to a house that's where Dad died at. It was nothing special. It was what I call a shotgun house. It was like this, and I didn't like the house because if you spoke here, you could hear in the back room, in every bedroom, but it was their house. Mom and Dad lived there. But they bought that house because from here to about where Pastor Koch, maybe a little farther, there was an alley between the houses, and the other house was Grandma's house. And they moved there so Mom could take care of her mom. So when Mom went to church, Grandma went to church. When Mom went to the grocery store, Grandma went to the grocery store. You do that, and it's just what you do. So I'm done this morning. You know what Jesus did? He honored women. He honored mothers. And he acknowledged and honored his responsibilities toward his mothers. I'll say this and be done. My two sisters take care of my mother 100-fold more than me. They're there. They live close. And I want to honor them this morning for honoring my mother, Rita and Shirley. That's an honorable thing. What are we going to do today? Let's pray, please. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for me, important, precious. To become a dishonorable person would be unthinkable with my mother, because you have to honor your mother. And yes, I believe in honoring fathers too, but today's Mother's Day. Father, may every lady in this room recognize that under God, He is pleased that they are a woman. And they could not be any more important, any more significant, because they share and bear the image of God just like men do. We honor all of our women. We honor our mothers, whether literal physical mothers or the many, many, many mothers that are mothering our children and grandchildren at various times. And Father, we also put shoes on. We honor our mothers in that they are our responsibilities to love and care for. I think my mother took care of me. I think it is my responsibility to take care of her. It's a matter of honor. Thank you for this day. In Christ's name, amen.